I appreciate that special. Psalm 101 tonight, please. Psalm 101. I think there's still some March devotionals on the table back there. You're a little late, but hey, you could do two a day for a little bit and get caught up. They're on the back table back there if you need those. I think there's still some out there. All right, Psalm 101. Look at verse 1, if you would. We're going to read the whole psalm, only 8 verses. It says, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no evil thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. In other words, he shall live in my life and be a part of my life. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. We've, of course, are working on our series, War of the Worldview, and establishing a proper worldview and having a right worldview. So tonight we're going to continue kind of laying the foundation of that. As I said, we're eventually going to get into Genesis and Romans in our primary text for the theme. But tonight we're just kind of laying the foundation for all of this. And so tonight, here's our thought. I want to talk a little bit tonight about our worldview determines our ethics. Our worldview determines our ethics. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing. Father, we pray that you'll be with us as we look into your word. We've already prayed multiple times and asked your blessing on the service and on the reading study of your word tonight. We're thankful for those who are here. So as we gather, we pray that you'll hear our prayer. You'll answer that prayer accordingly when it comes to hearing your word or hearing from you tonight, and it will be quick to make application of it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thanks for standing. You want to keep your Bible handy. This is going to be the textbook definition of a topical message, so we're going to be doing a bunch of turning during the first half, so that'll help you stay awake if you haven't recovered from your hour loss last night, so that'll help keep you moving. And so again, we'll do is quite a bit of turning up front, so just bear with me for a little bit while we do that. You ready to go? Let me ask you a few questions. I would encourage you not to raise your hand, all right, but let me ask you. If you want to, if you just want to, if your ethics demands you to be honest and you want to raise your hand, you can, but you don't have to. Have your values ever been swayed because of the belief that everyone in your family disagrees with you? Or maybe your friends disagree with you? You ever been the Lone Ranger in a family and found that your values contradict everyone else in the family? Have you ever been swayed by that? Have you gone along with the crowd doing something that later bothered your conscience so that you wouldn't look weird or out of place? Have you ever looked for loopholes for the purpose of gain? You know what I'm talking about. Not exactly dishonest, but it's kind of a loophole for gain. Have you ever claimed something on your taxes as a work expense because you did, after all, mention work when you're doing it? Have you ever charged something to your expense account, but the real reason for getting together wasn't business, it was clearly personal? But technically, it was business. You ever lied to protect another person's feelings? You know, the white lie that we talk about? Ever answer the phone or the door and tell someone that this person's not at home even though they are? You ever done that? Or implied they weren't home? That's apparently some people have. I didn't think that was all that humorous a question, but I don't know if those were guilty laughs or what. But Have you ever felt justified taking things from work without asking permission? Because everybody does it. This doesn't matter anyway. It's a small thing. Have you ever used the phrase, well, it wasn't technically a lie? Have you ever used rude, unkind, or belittling speech towards someone and justified by claiming, well, that's just who I am? You ever blame your wrong actions or responses on someone else? How different of a person am I at home versus when I'm at church? How different are you when your parents are around when they're not around? Ever refuse to allow someone to seek forgiveness or to get right with you over some issue? I mean, to really get right with you? Have you ever lied or been less than honest or deceptive to stay out of trouble or to get out of trouble? You ever lie, not technically lie, to protect your pride? Have you ever failed to speak up and take responsibility for something? Ever sold something without being fully honest about its condition? You know, buyer beware. Have you ever done your chores halfway, young people, yet knowing that you only did it halfway, tell your parents they're done? You ever look for a loophole not to tithe on something? I could say, you ever tithe $59.23? Just give God the extra money, will you? Just make it 24 bucks. Have you ever looked for loopholes? We could go on asking questions like this all night long, but all of these questions speak to ethics. They speak to our ethical foundation and what type of ethics run our life, how ethical a people we are. And of course, as God's people, goes without saying, we are to be an ethical people. And so we're going to talk a little bit about tonight that our worldview, the way we see the world and understand it, is what drives our ethics. It's what lays the foundation for our ethics. You understand, we get ahead of myself, that ethics have to be based on something. And what our ethics is based on, that's why our worldview is so important, because our worldview is the foundation for our ethics. And so that's what we're going to work on a little bit tonight. All right, you all with me? Okay, no more questions. Let's just get to work. What do you say? First of all, what is ethics? When we talk about ethics, what is it? I think most of us, and I can pretty well guess at a definition for ethics and what it is. But here, let me give you a dictionary definition. Webster defines ethics as this: a system of moral principles or a system of rules for regulating the actions and manners of men in society. Let me give you a little simpler definition, or at least simpler to me. Ethics are rules or moral principles that a person uses to guide their actions and their dealings with others. Ethics are those rules that I use to govern my life. Ethics are the rules that I use to govern my interaction with you, to govern my business affairs, to govern the handling of finances, to govern how I function at work. It is to be the rules that govern every aspect of my life. A set of moral laws. Here you go, another definition. They are a set of moral laws that supersede everything else in my life and act as a guide in my decisions, how I conduct my life and my affairs, and how I interact with others. That's what ethics is. Every time we're involved in business, ethics is involved. Whenever we're at work and having to make decisions at work or how we're going to work, ethics is involved. You can't hardly go out the door, can you? Well, you deal with ethics in your house, but you can't even go out the door without dealing with some issue of ethics in our life. And today, as we're talking about worldviews, never in most of our lifetimes have ethics ever been challenged like they are today. Never, probably in many of our lifetimes, have our ethics ever been tested like where they are today or been challenged like they are today. It seems like every time you turn around, you're having to make a decision concerning your ethics and whether you're going to be ethical about what you're doing or whether you're going to be unethical in violating your ethics. And so this is what ethics is. Now, the Bible doesn't use the word ethics, not specifically, but it does use words that carry the same idea as the word ethics. Look over in Proverbs 11. Here we go, a bunch of turning. Proverbs 11. While the word ethics doesn't appear in the scriptures, the Bible uses words that are very much like similar or the same as our concept of the word ethics. One of those words that appears often is in Proverbs 11 and verse 3. Proverbs 11 and verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall what? Guide them. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. The integrity, or we could use our word ethics, of an upright person serves as the guide of all that he or she does. Our ethics, our integrity is what is supposed to guide us in our function in life. Okay? So integrity is one of those words that's very similar to our idea of the word ethics. Look over in Proverbs 13, just a few pages over. Another word, it shows up in Proverbs 11, but it also shows up in Proverbs 13 more specifically. Another word is the word upright. Upright. The upright have a set of upright principles. We understand what upright is, don't we? Righteous, upright. An upright person has a set of upright principles that keep them in the right way. Because this is the purpose of ethics, to keep me in the right way. And if I'm going to stay in the right way, then I have to have a set of upright principles that will serve to keep me in the right way. In Proverbs 13, verse 6, it says this, righteousness shall keep him that is upright in the way. And he talks about, of course, wickedness. If you don't have an upright set of principles, you'll be overthrown. But righteousness, a right set, or upright set of principles or moral laws will keep me in an upright way. If you don't have a solid ethical foundation, it won't be long before you compromise yourself, especially in the world that we live in today. Because you're going to be tempted to compromise your ethics by your employer. Isn't that true? You're going to be sometimes, not every employer, but oftentimes, you're going to be tempted to compromise your ethics at work, especially in the time we live in. We live in a time where as a Christian, you're supposed to just shut up and let everything go and accept everything that's being crammed down your throat. But ethics demands that I can't do that. And so ethics is that upright set of moral laws that helps keep me right in the way. And when I'm driven by a righteous or upright set of guiding principles, it makes me right with God and it makes me right with man. And these principles, it says in Proverbs 13, keep me. They protect me. They protect the way in which I am going. They protect my testimony, my life, my joy. They protect me in the way. These ethical principles do. Ethics is not just about doing the right thing. It's the idea that ethics protect me in the upright way. And while the Bible doesn't use the word ethics or ethical, it certainly does lay out moral rules or moral laws of what ethics looks like. The Bible tells us what ethics look like. And we just read it back over in Psalm 101. Go back over there if you will. Man, here's a set of ethical principles, a set of moral laws that will keep us upright in the way. And we're not going to go through each of them. I just want to read them again. I want you this time as we read Psalm 101, I want you to think of it as a set of ethical moral principles by which we're to live. Notice what he says. I will sing of the mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Notice what he says. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. He says, I'm going to have a set of ethical principles. I'm going to have a set of upright principles in which I'm going to live. Then it goes on and says this, oh, when wilt thou come unto me, I will walk, notice what he says, within my house with a perfect heart. He makes the determination that his ethical principles, those ethical moral guiding laws, are not going to just affect him out the way at home that I do my own house. He says in verse 3, I have determined this, my ethics will demand that I will set no evil thing before my eyes. I'm going to protect my eyes. I'm going to keep myself pure. I'm not going to allow, my ethics are going to demand that I keep myself away from anything that corrupts. And he says, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave me. He says, I'm not going to keep company. My ethics demands that I not keep company with anyone who would turn me aside out of the way that God would have me to go. Then he goes on and says, a froward heart shall depart from me. I'm not going to hang out with the proud. I shall not know a wicked person. I'm not going to keep company with those who don't love the Lord and aren't serving him. He said, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will cut off. He says, my ethics demand that I'm not going to be around anyone who gossips, anyone who slanders another child of God. I'm not going to be around anyone who acts that way. My ethics are not going to allow me to do so. A proud heart, I will not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful in the land. I've determined, my ethics is determined that my companions are going to be those who are faithful to my God. Then he goes on and says this, they shall dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way shall serve me. And he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. I'm going to keep godly company. And he that telleth lies will not tarry in my sight. I am not going to keep company with liars. I would not recommend you adopt verse 8, where we kill all the wicked in the land. All right, but he gives us a set of ethical principles. That would be, just so we're clear, verse 8 would be unethical, all right, to kill everybody you know who is not serving God. Would make life much better in this world. No, I'm just teasing. Shouldn't even have said that. That'll get me in trouble. But he gives us a set of ethical principles. And so he tells us this is what ethics look like. It's determining these moral laws, these moral principles that are going to guide my life. Now, the Bible doesn't use the word ethics or ethical, but it certainly speaks of the framework of an ethical life. Look over in Philippians. Let's go over to the New Testament quickly. Philippians. The Bible often speaks of this idea of an ethical framework in which I'm to live my life. Some of these verses you'll recognize are Philippians chapter 4. If I can find it, Philippians 4. I'm thankful God doesn't require us to be perfect. Amen. Nobody in this room tonight ethically perfect. But we ought to strive to have a firm ethical system. In Philippians 4, look what it says in verse 8. Hey, this is an ethical framework. You've read it 1,000 times. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. And whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. He says, this is an ethical framework. These are the things that I'm going to focus my moral walk on, and I'm going to remember the things that I've been taught and the things that I've learned, and I'm going to make application of them in my life. And this is an ethical framework. It's a whole concept of a set of moral laws that are to guide my life. You know, men in the Bible spoke often of having an ethical system in their life. Again, they didn't use the word ethics, but they spoke of an ethical system, a set of moral laws and principles that govern how they lived their lives, how they conducted their business, and how they interacted with other people. Paul had a lot to say about an ethical system, about an ethical foundation in his life. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul was very concerned about what we refer to as ethics, as being known as an ethical man. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, notice what he says, commending ourselves to every man's conscience. He says, I'm very concerned about how other people see my life, and therefore I'm going to live truthfully and honestly. And as God's people, we're not going to handle the word of God deceitfully. And so it's this whole idea again of an ethical, moral system that God's people are supposed to have in place. Paul was concerned about that. Acts 24, look over there if you will. Acts 24, again, I told you a lot of turning here for a bit. Acts 24, look in verse 16. If this is not ethics, then I don't know what ethics is. Acts 24, notice what Paul says in verse 16. He speaks here in context of the resurrection, but look what he says in verse 16. And herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. I mean, that's the very foundation of what an ethical system is, isn't it? Is it not? To have a clear conscience, a pure conscience, first toward God, but also toward other men. To be ethical in my behavior and ethical in the way that I live my life. Paul was concerned about ethics. Matter of fact, I think Paul wrote probably what was one of the greatest ethical passages in all the Word of God when he wrote Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. When he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Have a new ethical system than the world you were saved out of. Probably one of the great ethical passages in the Bible. Look, if you would, over in the book of Job. One of the great ethical men in the Word of God was Job. Come on, that'd be hard to deny. He was one of the great ethical men in the Scriptures. Job 27. Job 27, Just talking here a little bit about what ethics is and how important they are. Job 27, verse 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty, who hath vexed my soul. Now here we get into his ethics. All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you till I die. I will not remove mine integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast, and I will not let it go. Man, that's a powerful ethical statement. My righteousness I hold fast, and I will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. In other words, I refuse to violate my conscience as long as I live. This is that concept of ethics. I will not violate God's word. I'm going to obey his word. I'm not going to do that which violates my conscience. Now, do we mess up? Oh, come on. Again, nobody in here tonight has lived a 100% ethical life. But our goal should be to strive to be ethical in all that we Job, again, one of the great ethical men of the scriptures. I think probably, apart from Jesus Christ and maybe Paul, probably the most ethical man in all the scriptures had to be Joseph, brother Joseph, don't you think? We have that story. We won't turn there for the sake of time or turning. But in Genesis 39, most of us are familiar with this. One of the examples out of many of the ethics of Joseph was when Potiphar's wife, of course, tried to seduce him, and he went into the house and refused to compromise himself. He said, my master, your husband, has put all this trust in me. I will not violate his trust. And I will not do this thing. Even though she came on to him time and time again, Joseph's ethics would not allow him to do so. And we have many examples in the life of Joseph of his ethics and how ethical he was and how it promoted him. Isn't that true? His ethics promoted him in the land of Egypt because he stuck to his ethics. And so we have ethics, these moral laws that are to drive our life. The word ethics doesn't appear in the scriptures, but there are words like integrity and uprightness that are really the same thing as our concept of ethics. And there are many men in the Bible, and we could look at others who spoke of ethics and the importance of having an ethical and leading an ethical life. So as I said, ethics are those moral laws that guide me. They determine, it is my ethics that determines how I treat other people. Look over in Psalms 15. My ethics determines how I treat other people. Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in my tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill, or in thy tabernacle, in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord, and he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doth these things shall never be moved. And he talks about how integrity is supposed to impact how we deal with others, our speech, our finances, and how those things matter. They determine how honest I am with others. Look what it says over in Proverbs 16, since we're here. Proverbs 16, where it should be maybe even on the same page. Proverbs 16, verse 11. I'm sorry, Proverbs 16, not Psalm 16. Guess I should read my notes. Proverbs 16. It's more than just across the page. It might be two or three pages. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 11. A just weight and balance are the Lord's, and all the weights of the bag are his work. Integrity is what determines how honest I am in my dealings with others. You know what else it does? It determines how I use my freedom. Look what it says in verse 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Why do you get on a highway? To go as fast as you can. The highway of the upright is to get away from evil as fast as we can. My ethics determines how I use my freedom. God's given us a great deal of freedom. Matter of fact, I can do anything I want to do. Isn't that true? So what regulates what I do? It's my ethics that says, you know what? I don't want to do that which is not upright. I want to be ethical in my behavior. So it determines how I use my freedom. Young people, as you leave home, your ethics is what's going to determine how you use this newfound freedom that you have. And if you haven't formed a solid ethical system, you're going to make some big mistakes and regrets in your life. If there's any time a person needs an ethical system, it's when they leave home. So that there's some determination in their life that this is the moral principles and moral laws by which I'm going to live my life. And these are things I cannot compromise on. Ephesians 6 tells us that my ethics determine how I deal with my employer, where he gives us that great passage on the servant and the master and how we're to, and of course, when related to us, it would be employer, and how I'm to serve my employer as if I'm serving God, because in the end, God is the one who rewards me. And so my ethics determines that, whether I'm lazy, amen, or whether I serve my employer. Laziness is an ethical problem, isn't it? And so it determines how I live for him. My ethics regulates my willingness to compromise. Proverbs 19, just a page or two over. Proverbs 19, if you're still in Proverbs. It regulates how I deal or my willingness to compromise. Better is the poor that walketh in his what? Integrity, than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. It's better to be poor. My integrity says I would rather be poor than compromise. I would rather sacrifice some finances than compromise. And so it regulates again that compromise. Ethics regulates everything. If you haven't got this idea by now, it regulates everything. It regulates ethics, regulates how I deal with responsibility, how I deal with power, how I deal with authority, my speech, my dependability. Dependability is an ethical issue. Amen. Honesty, truthfulness, how I respond to being corrected is an ethical issue. My willingness to admit that I'm wrong and get right is an ethical issue. All this has to do with ethics, these moral principles. So ethics are more than just a set of moral principles that I live by and I will not compromise on. That they are that, but they're also more than that. And they're more than that because having ethics and living an ethical life is how I demonstrate reverence for God. You understand that, don't you? It's not about just living an ethical life so that I don't reap the results of an unethical life. Ethics is also how I display reverence for God. And that's never been more true than in the unbelievably unethical culture that we're in right now. One of the greatest ways you and I can show reverence to God is when a wicked world sees the difference in the ethics of a child of God. And it gives reverence to our Lord. In Proverbs 14, notice what it says. We're just about done turning here. Proverbs 14, look what it says in verse 2. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. In other words, he that has established an upright set of ethics, an upright set of principles, and lives those things, demonstrates that he or she fears the Lord, shows reverence unto the Lord. I live by a set of moral principles because I should have ethics. But one of the primary reasons I want to be known as an ethical person because it shows reverence to the God whom I claim. Living by an ethical set of moral principles is also how I avoid a guilty conscience. In Proverbs 27, look what it says in verse 19. Proverbs 27 in verse 19. Proverbs 27, verse 19. As in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of a man to man. When you look in the mirror, you see what you are. My ethics demonstrate what I am. And they are also what then convicts or doesn't convict my conscience. You want to know what we're, if you and I want to know what we're like? Let's take a look at our ethics. Amen? In addition to all that, my ethics establish the character by which I will be known. Look in Proverbs 20. As I said, we're just about finished with the turning. Proverbs 20. Look what it says in verse 7. People are known by their ethics or their unethical behavior. Proverbs 20 and verse 7. It says, verse 7, a just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are what? Blessed after him. Verse 11, even a child is known by his doings. You know what that means, young people? Even you. I don't care if you're 12 or 24 or 44, you're known already by your ethics. Your parents know you by your ethics, whether they can trust you, whether you're honest, whether you lie, whether you're obedient, whether you're submissive, all that is a testimony to your ethics. Even a child is known by his ethics or her ethics or by her uprightness. Job chapter 1, turn there if you will, Job 1. Job 1, look if you would, verse 6. You know this passage, most of you. Job 1 and verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Then notice what it says, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and what? Upright man, that feareth God and escheweth evil. He says, have you considered my servant Job? Could we say this? That he is such an ethical man. Upright in every aspect of his life. So we're known by our ethics. Hey, come on. No one likes to deal with an unethical person. I mean, you want to do business, you won't get in business with an unethical person. We don't want to be around unethical people. Nothing's more frustrating than an unethical person and dealing with an unethical person. So whether someone thinks about it or not, every person has an ethical system they live by. If you're breathing tonight, say amen. Amen. All right. Well, if you're breathing tonight, you have an ethical system. You may not have a good one, but you've got one. Some people may not even think about ethics or think about the idea of an ethical system or an ethical foundation, but everyone has an ethical system by which they live. You know, you hear it sometimes, I've heard some people say of another person, well, he doesn't have any ethics. They just have no ethics. Well, that's not true. They have ethics. They may not be good ethics, but they have ethics. There is no such thing as a purely non-ethical person. We all have an ethical system, though it may not be a good one. And here's where I want to finish up with this. We'll turn the corner here from doing so much turning, and that is this. If we're going to have an ethical system has to be founded on something. There has to be something that determines what is right, what is upright, what is just, what is righteous, as well as what is wrong, what is selfish, what is ungodly, what is wicked. There has to be some foundation, something that defines for us what ethical looks like and what ethical is. Because an ethical, you know, the Bible tells us the heart of man is deceitful and continually wicked. So we cannot leave it to the heart of man to establish what is ethical. We have to have something greater than that to establish what's upright and ethical. Okay? This is where this whole idea of a worldview becomes important. Because this is where your worldview makes the difference in your ethics. Because it is your worldview that really establishes the foundation for your ethics. There's not but two primary worldviews, and which one of those you hold to is going to determine your ethics. Would you agree tonight that we're in an ethical war in our country? You like me, you think to yourself, like the old saying goes, now in Washington, you can always tell when they're lying because their lips are moving. Right? So we know that we can't trust anything. This is the most lying, deceitful, unethical administration I've ever seen. And that's saying a lot. Because we've seen some pretty unethical, empty suits in Washington. But this is one of the most unethical groups of people who will lie to us and know they're lying. Who will lie to us without compunction, without guilt, without conscience. And there's a reason for that beyond just the fact that we're sinners. The problem is ethics. We're in a time where our leadership has no ethics. And of course, they're not alone. It's not just in the leadership. It's in other areas of business or other areas of the world as well. So this system of ethics has got to be based on something. So let's talk about this and we'll be done. What is the basis for our ethics? What is the basis for that? What is to determine how I'm to be right and what I'm supposed to do? What is the basis for that? Well, this is where our worldview is important. You've got to remember what we've talked about so far. We've talked about three things as the foundation of a proper worldview. The first one of those is you must believe in the God of the Scriptures as our Creator. You must believe in Him because you can't have a proper worldview without the Creator. And so you've got to understand that He is, and you have to understand your responsibility to your Creator in order to have a proper ethical system. The second thing we said is that we have to have confidence that God's Word is true and that it is indeed not just a doctrinal statement, but it is indeed the rule of all faith and practice for God's people, really for anyone, and it is God's Word that is the only way to truly know His will. We've got to understand that we have a Creator to whom we're responsible. That Creator has left us His Word. And I'm just ignorant enough. I'm sorry, I'm not educated enough to believe that God turned it over to men. I'm still dumb enough to believe that God has preserved it in the English language for His people so that you don't have to know Greek so that you can know it for yourself because God has preserved it for us. I apologize for being that ignorant to think that God could possibly preserve His word in Greek. Hey, and in English. How about that? So we have to believe that His word is true. Then last time, we saw this. You have to have a right understanding of origins. In other words, you have to have a right understanding of where we came from. That we are not the highest evolved form of animal. That we are not the result of trillions of years of unbelievable accidents that has resulted in the human race. We have to understand that we were created by an omniscient, omnipotent God who has a plan for us as a race and has a plan for us as individuals. So if you're going to have a right ethical system, you've got to start with those three things. And your position on those three things are going to affect what kind of ethical system you have. Does this make sense to us? One of those worldviews, as we've seen already, is humanism. The other worldview is biblical Christianity, not Christianity, biblical Christianity. Those are the two worldviews that we're faced with. We could branch some of those out, but there are really only two, humanism and biblical Christianity, and which one of those you and I choose is going to establish our ethics. When it comes to humanism, let me read you this. Believe it or not, humanists have a humanist society. They produce what's known as a humanist manifesto. I think there's two of them now. It's the humanist Bible is what it is. You can get it. I've read both humanist manifesto 1 and 2. And 2, here's what humanism says about ethics. Y'all listen, ready? Here's what they say. The humanist manifesto 2 says, now you got to listen. Are you listening close? Okay. Moral values, in other words, ethics, moral values derive their source from human experience. Ethics is autonomous and situational, needing no theological or ideological sanctions. Ethics stem from human need and intent. How many of you have heard the phrase situational ethics? Ethics stem from human need and intent. To deny this distorts the whole basis of life. Human life has meaning because we create and develop our own futures. We strive for a good life here and now. For that reason, all human acts are ethically neutral, except for their influence on others for good or ill. In other words, since we are the accident of evolution, since we are the highest form of evolutionary animal, for that reason, if there is no God, if there is no Creator, if there is no Word, then who is to say what's right or what's wrong? Who's to say what's ethical or unethical? And that's the reason we're in the mess that we are, because we're dealing now with a country that is purely secular and humanistic. And so in their mind, there is no standard. There is no moral law that has been established. There is no eternal, ongoing truth. And so for that reason, all ethics are personal and autonomous. My ethics are what I want to do. Hey, you heard the phrase, whatever feels good, do it. Whatever's best for you. This idea that ethics are neutral. Lying may be good or may be bad, just depending on the circumstance. Stealing might be good. Come on, it's just what we're hearing today. We have people robbing and stealing, and it's not being condemned. It's being praised by an element of our country because it's not wrong in their ethical system, because in their mind, ethics is neutral. Have you heard the phrase, my new favorite phrase we hear so many times now, lived experience? Hear everybody talking about their lived experience? Everything's right or wrong based on your lived experience. It's what you've experienced that makes something right or wrong. It's not right or wrong. It's what you have lived. Now, since man is simply the highest form of evolved animal and there's no creator God, man determines what's ethical and not ethical. So ethics are situational, changing and morphing as I need them to so that I might accomplish or attain whatever I want. There's no eternal, universal moral law under a humanistic world system. Is this making sense? Even apart from the Bible, the thing about it, of course, we understand what deep thinkers we're dealing with in our time. But even apart from the scriptures, this whole idea that there is no unchanging ethical system, there's no good or bad, there's no honorable or dishonorable, the idea that all of these things are fluid is ridiculous. Amen. Apart from the scriptures, even. And we see it all the time. Hey, think of a country or a people or a society where people admired those men who run away in battle. Yeah. We would look at that and think, that's ridiculous. Yeah. What culture, what people honor those who run away in the face of the enemy? Well, no one does. We would look at that and think, we would think they are sorry and despicable, yeah, wouldn't we? We don't need the scriptures to do that. We've already determined it's unethical. Think of a country or a society that are proud of those who double-cross the people who are best to them. When we see somebody, the Patrick or whatever his name is, the basketball player? What's his name? Who cares anyway? Doesn't matter. But whatever his worthless name is. Do you see how he denigrated his parents? These people adopted him and raised him. And now he's using them for political fodder to further his own financial success. That's despicable. It's despicable. And the reason why it's despicable is because we look down on people who use those who have been the kindest to them and then turn around and denigrate them. It's true, isn't it? Think of a place where people glorify the mistreatment of animals. Or where we glorify cheating or belittling other people. Well, whether man wants to admit or not, outside the scriptures we understand there is an ethical system. Even outside the scriptures. People have different views regarding exactly what selfishness is. But everybody agrees we shouldn't be selfish. Everybody agrees we shouldn't go around putting self above everybody else. We may disagree on exactly what selfishness it is, but there is no culture where selfishness is admired. What we want more than anything else is to raise a generation of the most selfish people we can. Well, nobody would do that. So while humanism claims there is no God and so therefore no unchanging, unaltering rules or ethics to live by, you can see clear evidence that man is only fighting against that which is in us due to our Creator. You know why we don't admire those who run in battle? Because of our Creator. You know why we don't admire the selfish? Because of the image of God that's placed in us because of our Creator. You know why we don't honor the lying and the cheating and the stealing? Because God has placed His image in us, and as a result of that, there is an ethical system within us, whether we want to admit it or not. And for the humanist to say there is no such thing, that ethics is situational and personal, is to fight against the image and the ethics that God has stamped within our heart. That's the reason they're so angry about it. Any type of attempt to place any type of godly ethical system is met with anger because they're fighting against that which is within them. So let's close with this by thinking about this. Because we are the creative act of an eternal God and we're made in His image, we ought to expect to find His ethical rules and standards reflected in our heart. If we were created by an ethical God, it would just make sense that we should see it in us. The image of that in us. We know them without even seeking to know them. Paul said in Romans 2, verse 14, of the Gentiles, he spoke of the law that the Gentiles knew, having never been taught that they were... Look over there in Romans 2. You look at me like maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Romans 2. I want to do the ethical thing and make sure you see it. Romans 2. We know things are ethical and non-unethical without even having to be told. My parents never sat me down and said, listen, son, you should not murder people. You know, no one had to tell me it was wrong to lie. They had to teach me not to lie, but no one had to tell me it was wrong to lie. I knew that instinctively. Romans 2, verse 14 says, when therefore, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are law unto themselves. He says the Gentiles who never heard the word of God had an ethical understanding because they were created in the image of God. And that's why no society honors the selfish or the murderer or the liar or the cheat. There are ethical laws you and I know without having to learn them. You don't really teach your kids morality in this sense. This is a broad statement. We don't really so much teach our kids ethical truth. We reinforce ethical truth that's already in there. Now, do we need to tweak it? I'm sure. Do we need to expand upon it? Sure. But there are things they already know it's wrong to hit their sister over the head with a truck. All right. They already know that's wrong. All right. But because it's within them, we just have to enforce the fact that it's ethically wrong. Call it conscience if you want to, but there are moral laws that are a result of having been created by a moral God. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, Christ did not come to preach or teach a brand new morality. He didn't come to preach or teach a brand new ethical system, because that ethical system was already in us. He also said this, great moral teachers never, listen to this, this is a good quote, great moral teachers never introduce new morality. The real job of every moral teacher is to keep on bringing us back time after time to the old simple principles which we are so anxious not to see. People don't have to tell us oftentimes what's right or wrong. It's a broad general statement. Instead, we have to be brought back time and time again to that which we know is wrong. There's so many things that people don't need to tell us that we should do or is good. We know it. We just have to be brought back time and time again and made to see what is good and right, because the image of God is stamped within us. And that's where our ethical system is based. Since God's the creator of all mankind, there are moral laws that pervade the entire human race and ring true for all people. And these moral and ethical laws are independent of man. They're not the result of my upbringing. They're not the result of cultural influence. They're utterly independent of me because they were placed in me by my Creator. One of the most basic ethical laws that's stamped in the heart of every person is Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What is our purpose? To serve God and to live for Him. And that is stamped within every single one of us. Duty and accountability to our Creator. Now, while there are unwritten laws stamped on our hearts by our Creator, let's close with this thought. While these ethical laws are stamped on our heart by our Creator, and we know them without being told, God's Word forms the basis of our written ethical system. Because God expounds on that, does He not? Or expands on that which is in our heart through His Word. There's not enough in my heart to know how to be utterly ethical like God would have me to be. So God places the basis for that ethics in my heart. There are things that I know without having to learn. But yet then God gives us His Word so that He can expand on that ethics so that I know better how to live my life. Look over in Psalm 119, verse 104. Psalm 119, verse 104. Got to have his word. Psalm 119, verse 104. Hey, you all still awake? Man, you're almost done. Hang in there, and you're going to make it here in just a moment. You can go home and do whatever it is you do on Sunday night. Eat, probably. All right? Psalm 119, 104. Through thy precepts, I get what? Understanding. So while God has placed his ethics in my heart, if you will, it's through his word that I begin to understand them. And they begin to be fleshed out and expanded on. And I begin to understand more and more. It's stamped within my heart to be honest. But through his word, I understand what honesty looks like. I understand exactly what it means to be honest. Through his word, through the ethics that are, or the image of God that's stamped within me, I have some understanding of how I'm to treat other people. But his word then expands on that. Starts talking about things like bitterness and forgiveness and all those things. And so his word gives us. These ethical rules are made up of two kinds. They're made up of commands, first of all, of commands or rules. God gives us commands. The thing about commands are, commands or rules, commands sometimes pass away. They pass away because not all commands are directed to all people. And sometimes commands are directed to a certain era. Some of the commands that God gave Israel aren't good for us. But there are commands and rules in his word that do apply to us. Certainly we are to make no graven image. Certainly we're to murder no one. So there are commands that are in the word that are permanent, eternal. Some commands are not eternal because they involve a certain group of people. But commands or rules, there are commands and rules in the word of God that are to continue on. And we're to seek out and apply those unchanging commands in our ethics and use them as part of our moral system. The other way the Bible directs our ethics is by way of principles. By way of principles. And these are general rules that apply to a wide range of situations. It irks me when someone says, well, show me, give. Where does it say I can't do this or can't do that? What says, the Bible doesn't say a lot of things that I can or can't do because it would be impossible. You've heard me say before, if the Bible addressed every single issue of life with a thou shalt or thou shalt not, we'd need a couple semi-trucks to haul it around. The Bible can't address by specific command every possible issue of life throughout the generations of mankind. And so what God does, he gives us some foundational commandments, and then he gives us principles which we are then to use and apply to life. And these principles form the basis for my ethics. Let me show you two of the great principles. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Just an example of two of the great principles in life, in the Word of God. That's to form my ethics. These are to be a part of your ethical system, these two verses. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not what? All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. God's given me great freedom, but I'm not going to use that freedom to make myself a bondservant to anything. Sure, I've got freedom to do a lot of things, but I'm not going to do that which isn't best for me. Well, what are you talking about? Anything. It's a principle. Chapter 10, where Paul goes a little farther on this. In chapter 10 and verse 23. I'm telling you, these are two of the great principles in the scriptures. 10:23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things aren't best for me. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. I'm not going to be involved in anything, though I might have the right to do it. My first question is going to be, what's best for me spiritually? In what circumstance, preacher? It doesn't matter. In every circumstance, what's best for me spiritually? So God gives us these principles. You know another great principle in the scriptures is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek it over what? Doesn't matter. Seek first his kingdom. And so God gives us commands, and he gives us principles. He's stamped within our heart this ethical foundation in which there are things I don't need anyone to teach me, that I know by virtue of having been created. Now I'm to take God's word and allow him to expand upon those so I can fill out a good ethical system by which I'm to live. Amen? Amen. And if I do that, I'll be blessed. I'll have a good reputation. I'll demonstrate that I have a reverence for God if I'll do those things. Or I can take the world's view that only thing that really matters is what's best for me. There is no God. There is no moral standard. There is no eternal truth. And so therefore, right and wrong is left up to the individual. Hey, how's that working out for our country? How's that working out for society and for our culture? You have an ethical system. Come on, if you're breathing tonight, you got an ethical system. Even a child, as they grow in understanding, develops an ethical system, even as a child. And so we all have one. We have in us, due to the image of God, this ethical foundation. We're not to just follow it, but to add to it with the rules and the principles of God's word. And if you want a more trouble-free life, formulate a biblical ethical system to live by, then turn to his word. Psalm 101, that great example we read earlier of this ethical system that was established. David said, this is how I'm going to live and conduct my life so that I might be blessed by him. Don't fall for the lie of man that the ends justify the means, because there is no such thing as right or wrong, just right or wrong for you. And if you want a good testimony, if you want to be, listen, young people, if you want to be respected, if you want to be trusted, if you want to be given responsibility, if you want to be given privileges, if you want to have good friends and good relationships, have a good, solid, biblical, ethical system to live your life by. Be known as a trustworthy, ethical person. And that's good for all of us. Get saved. If you're not saved, get saved. And then live an ethical system as outlined in his word. Ethics matters. And how you view the world, biblical Christianity or humanism, lays the foundation for that ethical system. If you want a blessed life and a good reputation, live an ethical life. Stand with me if you would.